Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. And she uses all these skills to address the subjects that we grapple with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. How are you?
I am here, and
that's good. I'm ready to go. I just was a little thrown off because I couldn't hear the music at the start of the show. And so I'm hoping I can hear the rest of the music since this will be kind of a music-heavy show today. I hear a little bit of us.
You know,
there we go.
My bad. You know what? They could hear it out there. You couldn't hear
okay.
it.
Okay. So. But it kind of gets me in the mood. I have to hear that lilting rhythm in the background.
We'll let it play for just a little bit and then go out.
Thank you. So, yes, happy Tuesday. I am here. And this show has been ruminating on different fronts, not just in my head, but in different fronts here at KCBX. Actually, Neil Losey started it, and I picked up the mantle, and we're going to run with it today. And it's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart because I'm a live music lover. And I actually have gone to quite a few concerts this year. I used to go a lot in the younger days, and then you go through periods of time where you just can't afford to go. And then I went through periods of time where I was too busy to go. And now I have time to go, but going to the shows has become annoying. And so I have to overcome some of my anti-live music feelings to get myself to go to shows. But so far I went and saw Chicago up at Las Vegas. And I'm going to sound really old because I just realized in my head that most of the music I've seen is kind of retro, throwback music. But I went and saw Chicago in Las Vegas, and it was a phenomenal show. And they have a new lead singer, and their band was so tight, and the music was so fun. And it was all people my age, so I was swimming in my comfortable sea. And then Chris and I flew to Chicago, ironically.
Confusing.
Yes, totally confusing. We flew to Chicago, but to see Todd Rundgren, who had reunited with Utopia. That's a throwback to way back. And he also put out a phenomenal show. And the man's 70 years old, and his voice is just peaches. And he's actually going to be performing at the Fremont in November. So if you get a chance, go. But I think they're calling it an unpredictable evening with Todd Rundgren, which is more my experience with him in the last 30 years, that I never know where his shows are going to go. Sometimes they're great and sometimes like, what? But this show in Chicago was phenomenal. This tour was phenomenal. Then I was at the Live Oak Music Festival and enjoyed all the live music there. And then we grabbed last-minute tickets and ran up and saw Dead & Co. up at Shoreline Amphitheater a week or so ago. And that is the melding of two things I love dearly. One is the Grateful Dead, and two is John Mayer. And they have come together in this, like, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup of music for me. And so I've been to a lot of live music, and it's been fun, but Neil started a rant on his show a couple weeks ago. I guess, is rant too heavy? I don't know.
I think it was a carefully informed opinion laid out in speaking style.
A curated, well-formed argument that going to live venues to see music has become more challenging because the etiquette of those attending these live events has become less than polite, well, with a lot of talking and a lot of selfie taking and holding up phones to record things, and just the whole noise of the audience has taken away from the experience. And because another one of the musicians I love to go see is Dave Matthews and Dave Matthews Band, one of the things I discovered early from their shows is that not only is it loud, but their audiences sing along as loud as they can to the songs. And it's kind of like a Dave Matthews thing, which I don't want to hear other people sing poorly Dave Matthews songs, but it seems to be happening more and more. So Neil put this out to the audience, and his listeners were on fire, and emails were shot back about people's bad experiences, and not just with live performances, but at the PAC and different, you know, theater productions, and you know, how people feel less apt to want to go out into public to see these shows because it's taking away from their experience. And then the argument was, well, if I pay for my ticket, I should be able to talk and behave however I want. You know, if you're getting, I don't care if you can't hear the music because I paid the same amount of money for my ticket, unless, of course, you went to StubHub like I did and you pay way more than everybody else around you. But so this started this conversation, and then it kind of bled over to the hallways, and Neil brought up to me, and I said, oh, we definitely should talk about this because there, I don't think this is limited to our experience, even though he and I are old timers. And so maybe it's not just us. I think other people are experiencing it also and want to talk about how do we make it better. And then the other part of the question is it an issue for the younger generations? Like, do they even have a memory of going to any venues to see events where there wasn't talking or selfie taking? Or, and so maybe there's a new normal when it comes to live music and we're just fogies that, you know, need to get over it. So I thought we can bring a perspective. I would love a millennial's perspective. And at Live Oak Music Festival, I had the pleasure of having a conversation with the young men from Young Men. I sound like my grandma. From the young men at Proxima, who are make up the band Proxima Parada. And so I reached out to Nick Larson and said, okay, you're young and you're a performer. What do you think about this topic? Because not only from the millennials' perspective, but also as a performer, what's it like to look out into the audience and notice that maybe half the crowd, a portion of the crowd, is so busy chatting that they're not paying attention or that they're selfie taking? And so he's here as well.
Hello.
Hello. So that's where we're going to go today. We're going to open up the phone lines and let you join in on the conversation. But we're just going to kind of roundtable discussion. Have we lost our sense of etiquette when it comes to attending live performances? Is there, should you say something to the people around you talking? Much to the horror of my family, I like to take dark chocolate M&Ms to shows with me and eat them, but also flick them at people that are annoying me.
Okay.
I'm hoping one of my daughters will call and talk about the event where the person in front of me almost got punched out because I flicked an M&M at someone two rows forward. Whole long story. So we're gonna kind of see where the conversation takes us.
You know, I'm excited for it. You know, I used to live in Austin, Texas, and this conversation ignited there a couple years ago, and it was a lively debate, to say the least. So I'm excited to see what happens today on the show.
Yeah, and I hope it's I hope we get perspectives on both sides. So we'll see where it goes. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can be part of the conversation at 805-781-3875. You can also find me on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or check out our Instagram, is also available now. We're trying to be more current and keep up with it, EW_Barrett_TRT for Instagram. You can send me an email to Elizabeth@TheReluctantTherapist.com. Listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. And you can podcast our shows by visiting Apple Podcasts and search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and then subscribe, and you'll be able to hear the shows at your convenience. So that's where we're going to go today. We're going to take a deep breath, get our thoughts together, and be back to open those phone lines.
Music is what we like to play.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, joined in the studio today by my guest, Neil Losey.
Hello.
You know, I've tried to get you in here on numerous occasions over the last 10 years.
Yeah, wasn't going to happen.
But we found a topic.
Yeah, we found a topic, and one that I think actually fits really well with the show, because I think there's more to it than just people being rude. Mm. There's a lot more to it. Why has it become this way? What is going through people's minds that brings it this way? It just it's interesting. I've been going to concerts for a long time, and I've seen it change. And I've been going to them long enough to see it change, where it isn't just something that's always been. So it seemed to make sense to talk about it a little bit. And my idea of talking about it a little bit is maybe just getting people to think about it. I think a lot of it happens because I just don't think that people are thinking that they are being inconsiderate. I don't think anybody's being rude on purpose.
No.
I think that people are just kind of so caught up in their own worlds and their own lives that they're not thinking that they might even be inconsiderate to anybody else. And unfortunately, the way that they usually find out is when people have had enough and they turn around mm-hmm. and they they throw things at them like M&Ms or or they just turn around, would you please be quiet? And that's how they end up finding out about it. So I think that maybe talking about it a little bit, hopefully we'll get people to think about it and maybe better ways of approaching the situations when they come. Maybe before you've had it up to here, you just politely mention something about, you know, I'm really having trouble hearing. And maybe we'll get a little bit more awareness out there and people will start to realize that what they're doing might be inconsiderate to their neighbors, just in a positive way.
But is there a difference between, say, you know, a concert that's indoors versus a concert outdoors, like at Live Oak? Is it more appropriate for the audience at Live Oak to be chatting and milling about than it is for people who are buying a seat at the PAC and seeing a concert? Like, is there, or should all audiences, and in a bar, are people at a bar allowed to talk?
I think there are different. I do think there are different levels of consideration at these things. I think that when you're at a seated concert, for mine, the experience that really got me going was at the Sue Georges show at Fremont Theater. I had people that were sitting behind me that really were just talking about their day and just as if they were in their own living room. And then I talked to my friend Mike Funk, who was sitting in another part of the theater, and he was having the same experience. And I talked to Brian Lanzone, who was sitting in another part of the theater, and he was having the same experience. And I think that seated shows like that, you probably should, you know, just not be talking about your day. And it was a quiet show. So quiet shows are important. You go to a bar, I look at it this way. If I want to hear the music when I go to a bar or a club, I get up close. And I'm going to be up as close as I can to listen to the music. And usually when I go to these things, I am there to listen to the music. If I do have a discussion or I'm going to talk, I usually move to the back of the bar or the back of the club. When I'm outside at an event, I think that, you know, a concerts in the plaza sort of situation, people are there to party and have a good time. And if you really want to listen, you move up as close as you can. And then people in the back are talking. That's part of it. I think at Live Oak, the people that are sitting in the chairs close to the stage, I think if you're moved close to the stage, you're outside, you're there to listen to music. I think maybe those the first few rows of seated area, if you're talking there, you are kind of being inconsiderate to the people that are there that want to listen. I was talking with Ron Saul, a former host here and a fine musician and a big fan of Live Oak, and he said for the first time ever, he didn't even bother they're not planning on sitting in the front areas of the chairs anymore because people are just talking through Live Oak anyway, and he's never had that experience in all of the years going. And so I think it does depend on where you are, and there are ways to mitigate it. If I can move, if I'm in a situation where I'm in a pit, let's say.
Yeah, like an open venue.
Yeah, an open venue. I will try to move somewhere else if I can, unless I've staked out a really sweet spot right in the very front of the stage. But I will try to, you know, let people do their thing. But when you're a seated event and you can't really do that, I think that people should really be a little bit more considerate. I was at Sharon Jones when she performed at Vina Robles Amphitheater, and that one was important to me. And the people behind me were just talking about, oh, my brother, he's blah, 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 blah. You know, and I finally had to say something to try to be as polite as possible. And so they actually quieted down, but it took a while.
And you have to have, I feel like I shouldn't have to muster the courage to say something because quite often people will be rude back. And then, so I don't say anything. So instead of enjoying the music, I'm building up this this anger inside of me. So I'm not even listening to the music because now I'm so focused on what I want to say to the other person. Yeah. It becomes just this horrible dance in myself and they have no idea. And I was thinking as you were talking, maybe we need to move towards a no talking zones in different venues. It's like if you buy, you know, seats in the first 40 rows, it's no talking zone. And then if you want to talk and that brings it to light.
Mm. Mm. I was going to say, you know, one of the things about concerts, you know, I do want people to have fun, and I do. I am not saying we
need
to
sit
there.
Joy.
I'm not sitting there. We're saying we should have our hands folded on our laps, and you know, do a golf clap when it's the appropriate time. You know, talking about things that are going on stage when you're really excited, that's part of it. And if you do have to say something, you know, when I go to shows with people and there's something really exciting, I'll lean into that person and I'll talk to that person close into their ear and they'll lean to me and talk close in my ear. But what I've been seeing is people have been having conversations, even to the point where you know, the music's loud, so I need to talk louder so you can hear me because I'm going to sit and have a conversation with you, instead of that idea of leaning into each other and talking a little bit and enjoying the show that way. I think that that's a way of doing it. You know, I don't want people to think that I'm thinking that we should all be stodgy about this. No. There you can have discussions and you can talk at shows. So no talking zone. I don't necessarily think that that's a thing, but especially when you're at a concert, because sometimes you do have to say about something that's going on the stage. But I just think it's more awareness. And what you were talking about getting upset, and that's what happens. The person's talking, and all of a sudden you've been taking it for 45 minutes or an hour, and you've been hoping that they're going to be quiet, and you think they're not, they're never going to do it. So you finally turn around and you're like, would you please shut up? And then they think you've gone 0 to 100.
Right. They just think you're rude.
So that's what happens. So maybe we start doing it a little bit earlier and saying, you know, the people at the Vino Robles, I asked them if they could lean closer to each other when they talk and maybe just not talk over the music. I don't want to be that guy, but I really want to listen to Sharon Jones sing. Could you maybe just talk to each other quietly closer? Maybe that's the way to do it. Do it before we've stopped enjoying the show ourselves and just been sitting there and getting madder and madder and madder, just being polite about it first. And most of the time I would think people would, oh, I get it. You know, every once in a while you might run into somebody that isn't that way. But I think that that's one of the ways to think about it.
To start with. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. We're talking about talking at live shows. Anita, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
You didn't bring up that hopefully you would. I'm also a performer, and I worked backstage for years at Strawberry, so I heard other performers talking. And one of the things about audiences filming during the whole time, it removes a whole half of the experience that the performers have of interacting with the audience. They're not looking at the people, and the energy is not going back and forth in the same way, because they're looking out, and there's a sea of cell phones in front of people's faces. And a lot of performers talked about that, and I don't generally play in those larger venues, but I certainly understand that. And so that's an interesting perspective, that it just, there is an exchange of energy, particularly like at a dead show or something like that, that goes on, that gets removed when there's a piece of technology in between the performer and the audience. I'm also short. So it's already a challenge in a crowd. When everyone in front of me is holding up their arms with cell phones, I end up watching the concert on the cell phone of the person in front of me because I can no longer see. So those were just two things that I think people don't think about, how is it affecting, besides just the noise level, the use of technology.
That's a great point.
So, yeah, I just wanted to bring those up and, would be interested to hear your guest perspective on that, too, as far as the audience interaction, goes, how that gets altered with the presence of technology. Some performers will request that no one films, or they'll say you can take pictures during the first two songs and then all technology has to be put away. And I thought that was interesting, and I talked to one performer, and they said, well, that's because it ruins my experience. It's not because I don't want people taking pictures.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Anita. Well, Nick Larson from Proxima Parada, that's one of the reasons I invited you in today. What do you think about Anita's experience as a performer?
I first wanted to respond to what I was hearing Neil say and how you started about talking about how people really can be speaking very loudly during shows and how if we consider their intention behind the concert and then our intention. As a musician, when I go to a show, my intention is utterly to connect to the music, right, and the performer. But I have to also acknowledge that someone who maybe isn't a musician or doesn't frequent live shows, what is the purpose? Why did I come to the show? I came because I want to hang out with my friends, and I haven't seen them all week. And so somehow we have to have space for them to have their purpose in the concert. And for me as a performer, if I'm seeing people talking, it makes it clear that they're not here for the same reasons that I am. I'm here to connect with the audience in a authentic and real way. And that's okay if my purpose is a little different. Maybe our music might serve as a way to create this vibe. And they're feeling really good. They're having a lot of fun. They're connecting with their friends, but they're not necessarily tuning directly into our music and feeling what we're putting down. You know, it's not as much of an interaction back and forth.
But if the energy of the audience really influences the quality of the performance that you're inspired to give, there has to be you must feel a little bit of that disconnect. Like if a phone's being held up or someone's not.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. It really, there is a disconnect. I think I just have to reevaluate my intention. Mm-hmm. For every show, I think my intention begins the same way. I want to genuinely connect with the audience, and there really is a back and forth. I truly feel that when they're very receptive to our music and interacting with it either physically or I can just kind of see it in their faces that they're actually there. It's beautiful. But when everyone's turned and talking, I just have to reevaluate. Okay, I see. I'm going to now turn to the band and really focus that energy on connecting together to each other. And then who knows, maybe they'll come back to the music, the audience. But oftentimes it just means, okay, I'm here creating a space for them to connect because they really wanted to see each other today. I'm creating a vibe. I'm setting a vibe, which is not my top priority. But I try to not just feel like, oh man, they're ruining my concert. Then I lose, right? Because.
And I like that. I mean, I like that you look at the very different perspectives, because that's what Neil had brought up also. We have to understand what everyone's motive is for being there. Yeah. Let's put it out. We have a few calls on the line. So let's hear.
I want to get back to that phone thing.
We will.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
But Chris, you're on the air. What's in your mind?
I've gone to music shows and concerts for many, many years. It's about the music. It's about the performance and talking and holding your phone up. It shows a lack of respect for the performer. It's just wrong. They should have, if people insist on doing that, let's have a crying room. Back when I was a kid in Catholic church, they had a room for people with babies. Take the babies back in that room. It's soundproof. They pipe in the sound. You can hear the minister, but you know, let's make a room for people that want to party and make noise and visit friends, you know, somewhere else. But at the front of the venue, it's inappropriate and wrong, and it's disrespectful.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. All right. And John, what's on your mind?
Hi, Elizabeth. Yes, thanks for the call, taking the call. I was hearing yourself say, and I've just about given up going to Vina Robles because of the disturbance that comes from just absolutely rude patrons. Mm-hmm. No matter what I've done, they can't seem to get them. So I just kind of figured, give it up. The only thing that I still am pursuing, which I think is the only sacrosanct area where people don't talk, is classical music concerts. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it has to do with the age of the audience. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But in any case, my beef, and I expressed that to Dina Robles through an email, was that maybe the venues themselves need to do more to try and dissuade people from discussions. I don't mind it up until the music starts, but then, you know, wrap it up and listen. That's what we came for.
Well, and they ask people now to put their cell phones away or put on vibrate. I mean, it seems like it's a little attempt.
Well, I have heard people do that, but, you know, not so much because the club owners or the promoters or the people that are with the venues like Vina Robles, they're not paying attention to that so much. Although I did get an email from somebody who was just at a jazz club. George was at a jazz club in New York, and when you sat down at the table, there is actually a table stand there that says, "Quiet, please," during the performance.
Beautiful.
Right there on that. Although I have heard lots of great old jazz recordings of live where people are talking and hear dishes clanking because it's in a dinner club or a bar somewhere. Yeah. But there's a little thing there. It might be some way, and I'm trying to think of a way to do it in a positive way where people can remind everybody that, you know, remember you're here with other people. We're all here to enjoy this together. Keep your talking to a minimum. If you want to talk, there's a spot in the back.
Maybe crying room.
Some way to remind people what they're doing and that there are other people that want to enjoy this just by listening. And I think it's just an awareness thing, getting it into people's minds that their neighbors are there to listen.
Thank you, John. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And, you know, it's interesting because what I hear from you and from callers is that there's been a change. And so you wanted to follow up with the cell phone. You know, when did you think there was this change? Because I probably, you know, I'm thinking back to, you know, my college years when I went to shows. I was probably one of those annoying college students who was chatting with my friends, and I was more interested in the cute boys around me than really seeing ELO. And so, you know, is it because you and I have gotten older and we have more expectations? Or do you really think there's been a change?
I've always been like that personally.
You just talk to your neighbors?
No, I don't. No, no. I've always been really connected to the music at shows. That's always been really important.
Yeah, and me too. That's, you know, always been my thing. Even at clubs, I would be standing at Mother's Tavern when they used to have blues shows there. I would stand at the on the little landing with my arms crossed watching the music with an obvious, do not come to me and ask me to dance. Do not come to me and talk to me. I'm here to listen to the band.
But I, you know, believe me,
I was having a good time. I'm not joyless at concerts.
No.
But I have seen it more. The thing with the phones, again, I think we really have become way more of a society where, and because of social media and because it's so easy to carry in a phone. I mean, when I started going into concerts, you weren't allowed to film. You weren't allowed to record.
No, right.
You couldn't bring any devices in with you of any sort. Now, there's no way they can get people to not bring in their phones. So everybody gets to bring in phones and everybody's phones has a camera. But there's this thing, I think, of filming the concerts. I don't know for you if you've listening right now and you've filmed an entire concert. Have you gone back and actually watched that concert on your little phone screen? You're missing the moment of the music because you're busy filming.
Absolutely.
And also, when you post those to YouTube, I'll just let you know, nobody cares about the video of your cell phone video of a concert. I go on YouTube a lot to try to find performances and things, and cell phone videos that are over other people. Frequently, you're recording and you're catching all the people that are talking around you, not the performance.
Right, it's only...
I'm not sure what motivates you to film, but for the most part, you know, nobody else really cares about your video. I've done a thing where I've maybe, I've just taken a picture or I've taken a really quick, maybe 10-second little thing to get the sound to send to a friend that says, like, hey, this is what Brown Sabbath sounds like. You should get down here. I've done little things like that, but I would never hold my phone up the entire time. There maybe is an age thing there as well. I went to the Lord Huron show at Slow Brew, and it was just a sea of phones. It was really funny. That's just a sea of phones held up in front of me, and for the most of the show. And then I went to the Blasters show, and everybody was older than me, and nobody had their phones out. And so there is an age thing involved, but I don't think that anybody that's holding up their phone to record it, I don't think they are thinking that they're bothering the person behind them.
Well, that's because it's become so normalized. And so are we talking about a generational thing here, Nick?
I suppose so. And this, I'm probably the worst person to ask because I don't have a smartphone and I'm 28. But I will say my perspective from this generation is that we're unable to greet a moment in its birth, like the beginning of a concert. Like, wow, here's this moment that I'm at. And then the moment's going to die and it's going to end, right? This concert's going to be over. And for some reason, we're unable to accept those terms. Like, no, I have to film it because then I can experience it over and over and over again, whether they ever do or not. But why are we so unable to just let a moment be born and die, you know?
Wasn't that the whole idea? A lot of people didn't want to have any live performances recorded because there was supposed to be something sacred in that moment with the audience and the performer, and it was just for that moment, that it wasn't supposed to be captured forever.
Yeah.
That's why they don't film at performances, you know, at PCPA. They don't record their performances because there's something about that moment that's really important. So, Cynthia, you've been waiting for a while. What's on your mind today?
Thank you. So I wanted to mention something outside of the music arena, even though I go to live music, and this is definitely something my husband especially talks a lot about. But in 2001 is when Lord of the Rings came out in the movie theaters. And for our memories, that was the first time that we went to a movie and we felt like people had a complete disregard for, you know, going to a movie, enjoying the movie for what the movie is with the people there. And there were some people behind us with a young child who had to go to the bathroom, and they honestly argued with that child about going to the bathroom for at least 10 minutes. And we were just so taken aback, we almost never went to a movie again.
Wow.
So that, you know, 2001. So
wow.
That's definitely after the cell phone had been invented.
Yeah.
But what we see, you know, I recently watched all of these documentaries on baseball with Ken Burns. And one thing they say about baseball games is it was a place where you went to actually have a conversation while watching something else because it's not an auditory experience. And so you're there in community with people, and you find out, you catch up with people. And so if then you take that to a live music event, I go to live music with friends. I meet people there. Sometimes I leave my husband at home with the kids, and sometimes I'll videotape little snippets just to say, hey, honey, thanks so much for, you know, staying home with the kids so I can be out. But what I'm saying is when I go to these live music, there is a bit of community that has to be built, and there's a time for that. And it's, you know, maybe before the show, at intermission. But I think your first caller mentioned something that I think is really germane, and that is that artists can help with this, because I love it when artists say, hey, guys, thanks. That was, you know, the first song. I know a lot of you had your phones up. Hey, let's all put them away and let's all be in this together. And when I've been at performances where the artists have led us through that and invited us to all be present, it makes for a much better collective experience, in my opinion.
Thank you, Cynthia. And that's perfect, because I wanted to dovetail into something that happened at the concert in the Plaza where the California Honey Drops were here. And Lesh, the lead singer, got up and made a few comments.
Yeah. It was really cool, because it was right after I had mentioned something on the air, and then here he is performing, and he's got this nice crowd out there at the Plaza, and he brought it up, and he made it so positive. He said, like, hey, you know, I'm betting all of you people out here want to make the world a better place. And, you know, there's lots of great big things that need to get taken care of, but some of the smaller things are just taking care of your neighbor. And I'm seeing right in front of me, a lot of you are here and you're just talking, and there are people next to you are here and they want to listen. So maybe let's try to make this a better world right now by you just being kind to your neighbor and taking your conversation to the back, or let's just focus on the music and here's how we're going to do it. And then he brought it into kind of a sing-along call and response to get everybody engaged in what he was doing. It was very positive. It was very cool. And he brought the point out that, like, you know, here's a little something you can do. And I see that, because, you know, with the people that are talking during a concert, the person next to them that's a neighbor or, you know, a fellow music lover, another person in their community, they are damaging that person's experience at that time just by talking. And he tried to bring that to light, like, you know, pay attention to your neighbor in this case, and let's make this a thing together. It was very positive and it was really cool. And I like the way that he did that. And I'm really a believer. I don't want to get confrontational with anybody. So I really.
It tends to not work either.
Yeah, no, like, being confrontational.
You've just created more problems now.
No,
but the encouragement, like Lesh did, that's how. I'm sure that was a lot more effective.
I thought it was a beautiful thing. And the way that he then made it, and he really got people to focus, because he started doing a call and response thing with the audience. And who, when you're at a live show, doesn't like a little call and response? That's fun.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because, and I think Cynthia mentioned it, when the artists get engaged with the audience, that's great. Because I've been to shows where the artists never even say hello to the audience, where they're so into the band or into their music, they don't. And I've noticed that the more interactive the artist is with the audience, it feels like the audience gets more engaged, because when the artist comes up and is very self-focused, I think the audience maybe sees it like they're watching television, you know, it doesn't humanize it.
Yeah.
So, you know, is there a little bit of this on the artist that they need to?
I mean, that's very fair. Yeah, it, you know, some artists are incredibly shy.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're up there playing music is horrifying.
Yeah.
and they're able to do it. They may be good at it, but to actually speak and engage with the artist is a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, Josh, our guitar player, and myself are the only ones who feel comfortable in our band talking at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm personally not super comfortable with it, but I do it. And so, yeah, I hear you. It's definitely, I think we participate as artists, we participate in setting a vibe as well.
Right.
Is it just a performance? I'm just speaking at you? Or is there a dialogue? Are we actually connecting here?
Right. And how do you invite the audience in? If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guests today are Neil Losey, our Morning Cup host here at KCBX, and Nick Larson, frontman for the band Proxima Parada, a local San Luis Obispo band that just performed at Live Oak. And what's your next opportunity for people to see
We're playing at a thing called the Yoga Festival at Avila Beach, and that's, I think, August 12th, mid-August. So you can get tickets for that. It's a, like a yoga festival, and then there's some live music as well.
And we've opened up the phone lines to you to get your take on this experience of going to live shows. Has it been better or worse than your experience in the past? Is there a new normal where we just record and bring our phones to every event? Do we have a right to record these shows on our phones and share them? Our number is 805-781-3875. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls.
When your questions weigh less than a flame, go on and sip your tea. When your bottom needs someone to blame, well, let indifference be my plea. But if you really want to talk to someone, oh, baby, why not it be me?
You're listening to the sounds of Proxima Parada, Why Not It Be Me?
Yep.
From their album, Big Seven.
Yep.
Great album. I've been listening to it. My husband brought it home from Live Oak. We've been listening to it nonstop. But Nick, thanks for joining us today. And our number is 805-781-3875. Hank from KCBX.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Hank. Usually you run away from me.
This is a great show, and I was just reminded of last time I went to Las Vegas. I've seen a few of the Cirque du Soleil shows there, and they have a real heavy hand. It almost feels militant, but it gets the point across. There's a big right on your ticket, absolutely no photography of any kind will be allowed. Hmm. And then I've seen actually people get kicked out, like during the Beatles show. The first time that, and they've got about 40 ushers stationed throughout the theater, and the first time somebody talks, the usher walks down and kind of flashes their flashlight at you.
Wow.
And then the second warning, they'll actually walk up to you and whisper in your ear. And then I actually saw these two women, a couple rows ahead of me, they got ejected. The third time they had to be talked to. The usher dressed up as a Sergeant Pepper character took their arms and walked them out the door. And, you know, it was, like I said, it's kind of heavy-handed, but it worked, and I really enjoyed the show.
Well, nice. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, Hank, because I know usually you want to run away from me. So thanks for bringing that piece up. You know, because I kind of alluded to that idea that should we become more militant? Do we have to reteach the etiquette? I remember as a kid, you know, we went to our school would do field trips and they would take us to an opera and we would go to a play. And it was kind of their way of they would teach us how to behave at these public events. And I don't think we have those experiences anymore. Colette, thanks so much for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind? I think she got scared. Please call back if you'd like. Rachel, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I had an experience with talking about manners and etiquette and being, you know, polite not only to the audience but also to the artists that are playing. We were at a Diana Krall concert in the Central Valley at a sort of a big theater like the Fremont. And we were sitting in the fourth row, and we were right in front of Diana Krall. And then there were three rows ahead of us. And, of course, this was a theater where they sold alcohol in the lobby. And people were coming in, and some people, I think, probably had a little too much. The two people right below her grand piano, right below her in the front row, put their beers on the stage right below her piano and put their feet up on the stage.
Oh.
And so she starts playing this beautiful tune that she always opens with, and I can't think of what it is. And, of course, everybody wanted to hear that. And she kept glancing down at the beer and the feet. Finally, they took their feet down. And then finally they took their beer down. And Diana Krall looked down at them when she ended the song and thanked them publicly for getting the beer and the feet off the stage. So that had to be a little embarrassing. But the other thing that I know my husband and I both have a problem with when we go to hear local groups, Tipsy Gypsies or whatever, and we want to dance or we want to see the band, and sometimes it's in a smaller venue, Sometimes it's at some place like the Fremont. Everyone goes down front and stands with their drinks. Or if you're trying to dance, they're on the floor standing with their drinks. And, of course, they're taking up all the space. And this certainly happened to us at the Siren one time, and a whole group of us just left because it was so awful. You couldn't. There was no room to dance unless you danced in the entryway by the door.
Well, and so it sounds like you have two conflicting experiences. Is one, do we make room for people to dance? And if, as a performer, how much does it enhance your experience when you get people to the point where they're wanting to dance? Should we always have room for people to dance? Hmm. But what if they're dancing in the front blocks people who are listening? What do we do about that? And does the dancing make a difference to your performance?
Dancing. Yeah, I mean, it's not my number one goal to get people to dance, but I love it. It's like, it's stronger than clapping your hands. It's like very, very encouraging to see people dancing.
But then can the dancing in front block the view of the people? Like, what do we do about that? Can you ask someone who's standing throughout a whole show in front of you to sit?
You know, here's one that I have a problem with all the time. I don't know what to do when people are just motivated to get up and dance. Say at a performing arts center show, and the band on the stage is encouraging to stand up and dance, and the person behind you, my wife is also super courteous, and like they want us to get up and dance. She goes, yeah, but the people behind us aren't standing up. What do we do?
Right.
What do we do?
What
do we do? What's the right way to do this? And then, when you have people that want to get up and dance, I have trouble with that because I don't mind it if they're getting up and dancing and blocking me. That doesn't bother me because I like it. I'm worried for my own. If I want to get up and do it, I don't want to bother anybody else because they may not take it the same way that I do. So when people are up and dancing in front of me, I say, well, that's their choice. And if I wanted to do it, I would do it here too. So that's a tough one for me to answer because it affects me differently than it would affect other people. I don't mind it when people do that because I like that sort of enjoyment. They are there for the music. They're excited about it and they're into it. I think my concern more is from the people that don't seem to be living in the moment. They're talking or, you know, the filming thing. I know it bothers a lot of people more than me. I think it's just kind of silly because, again, nobody really wants to watch your video.
But I think it has a little bit, you know, from the mental health piece, and that's a whole other show. But there is this idea that for the younger generation, unless they've captured it and posted it and had likes for that experience, somehow they don't exist in the universe. And I think that's almost a heavier topic that we would explore at some point is, you know, the experience that the next generation has is not about their own enjoyment being in the moment, as Nick said, but they actually have learned to externalize their entire life. Unless I am validated by others, I in some ways don't exist. Colette, thanks for calling back in. You're on the air. What's on your mind? Wait, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Concert about a year and a half ago. It was just him and his piano. And, you know, it was a small venue. And, you know, it was amazing. And he found people in the front that were young. I'm sorry to say, young people just trying to film him and take pictures. And he said, excuse me, but do you want to live in the moment and enjoy this? Or do you want to just have this later on to share with your friends? He goes, I'm not happy. You know, I really wish you don't do this. And I want you to enjoy it right now. And everybody in the theater was like, that is really important. And so that was something that, you know, he was saying that it's like, you know, I mean, we go to a concert to see the person, hear the music. We're not going there to hear, you know, what's going on with our friends and all of that. We can do that anywhere.
True.
You know, and especially when we're listening to people who are pretty amazing, and just live in that moment and enjoy it. You don't have to record it. You don't have to do anything. You have to just be there. And I think that's really important. That is something that I don't want to just say the younger generation, but a lot of people are missing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Colette. And you know, and I don't think it's just the younger generation, because there's a lot of people my age and older who also have phones. So I think there's a bit of it started maybe the younger generation, but it's not just the younger generation.
Well, no, I was at the M Ward show, and there were two women, and they were sitting in front of us. I just keep talking about all these shows that I've been to. This has happened.
You're kind of show dropping.
I'm sitting here. I was at the M Ward show, and there were two women in front of me that were older than me, and they were talking a lot during the show, and they were just having a conversation. Again, I forgive people when they're talking about something exciting that's going on stage, but they were just having a conversation about the day, and this was a seated concert, and we weren't that far back. You know, artists are noticing too. Cat Power, who's sort of a delicate flower anyway, when she performed at Fremont Theater, she heard people talking in the audience, and she said, "I can't believe you're talking while I'm up here." She's very delicate, and she said she would never come back because of that, because she could actually hear the people talking from the audience. It was affecting her show. And some artists, they maybe would never say that, but they do. I think they're up there performing, and if they hear people talking or see people talking, I think it throws them. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have consideration for them as well. So
because they're live humans.
Yeah.
That have feelings. They're not just these cold artists. I mean, Nick is a very sensitive man.
But you know, back to the thing. I don't like always throwing things just on millennials and younger generation and thing. And I think a lot of the people that are younger that are doing this, it's because a lot of their experience has been at festivals where you are just kind of going from stage to stage and you're talking with your group of friends. And we actually heard from one listener who told me through an email after I brought it up that she started a conversation with one of her younger coworkers, and that younger coworker said, like, "I really don't know how to live in the moment unless I'm surrounded with friends or broadcasting out to friends." That's what that one woman said. You know, that's one person's experience, but that was what that younger coworker had mentioned. Like, "I really don't know how to just be in the moment and sit quietly and pay attention to one thing." Again, that was just one person, but
As I mentioned before, that's something we're seeing more in the world for this generation. It's the thing that we as clinicians are concerned about. And I want to mention that Phil stopped by the station just to point out that he would like to see the MC or whoever's hosting these shows to come up before the beginning of the performance and say, "Hey, you know, there's people here who have paid hard-earned money to see this performance, and we would like you to respect others' desires to see and hear the performance. And if you'd like to speak or talk to each other, take that outside." Mm-hmm. So that's Phil's idea. And Don, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Elizabeth. Couple things. One of the first thing is I think education is the key. Mm-hmm. At the athletic events at Atascadero High School, we'll talk about football and basketball. Prior to the national anthem, and Ed Cabrera started this a long time ago, years ago, but we say, "Please stand for the national anthem," and a big thank you to those parents who have taught their children to remove their hats during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner. Mm-hmm. At the Amundsen Theater, before every performance, the MC says, or somebody says off stage, "Out of respect for the performers and your neighbors in the theater, please no photos, texting, or recording, and please unwrap those candies now and check for the nearest exit." Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of good suggestions have been made, but I think what has to happen is that we have to get the word out to event venues and the people who run those to make sure that everybody gives the same message every time as to appropriate behavior.
That's very true.
Thank you, Don. That is fair. But I think Neil's point about, you know, the festival scene has a different etiquette in some ways, and how do we help? I do keep going back to the venue and the performers kind of have to set the standard. I mean, Jack White, I think in his concerts now, has people turn in their cell phones and they get bagged up and they turn them in if they want to come into the show, and if they don't want to turn in their cell phone, he says, "Don't come in."
Wow. Powerful.
Yeah, and actually he's gotten a lot of pushback from that. Like, oh, Jack White, what does he know? I'm paying his salary, and you're going to take away my phone. But his point, you know, he's a prickly fella. But underneath his point, he also has said, like, "I just want you to live in the moment. Live in the moment. It doesn't need to, every moment doesn't need to be recorded." And the thing is, right now, I do think that we are starting to believe, because of social media, every single thought that I have, every single thing that I do is golden, and it needs to be shared with everybody.
And it goes back to the "I'm not here existing if I am not having my presence
Does a thought count if I don't share it with everybody in the world through social media? Does my experience here count if I don't share it with anybody? And does my thought that I'm having right now at this concert, oh, I've just had the greatest thought in the world, I need to tell the person that I'm standing here with right now at this moment what I'm thinking, instead of, oh, let's have a conversation before or afterwards or something like that.
That's the post-concert.
I need to talk right now because everything about what I do is golden.
Well, and to be fair, we've had a lot of, you know, agreement about not speaking at shows, but I'd be also curious, and Tyler brought it up, is there anyone think that we should be allowed to talk at a show? That, you know, you're listening to this conversation, you're thinking, well, I pay my money, and if I want to go talk at the show, I'm going to talk at the show. We have a couple more minutes for a couple more calls. 805-781-3875. Christopher, what's on your mind?
Yes, I've been going to venues for, going all the way back to the 60s. I used to go to them down in Los Angeles at the a lot of different ones. And back then, the problems was mostly drunks. You know, that people would get too drunk and unruly, and then the bouncers would just, you know, lead them out the door. You know, and you know, they'd take care of it then. But now things have changed. You know, like you said, with social media and everything, and people, you know, bugging each other with you know, the phones and stuff. And I'm 100% behind Neil Losey. I think he's exactly right. And but what I think is, if you put your money, if it's a quiet venue that you're supposed to be listening to the music, and if you put your money up and there is money involved, then the responsible party, you don't engage the people in the audience, and the one you go to is appropriately the one you gave the money to. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you hit him up. You say, hey, look, you know, give me back my money, or set me up, you know, to where I can, you know, listen to the music better, you know, and enjoy this experience, because, you know, my money counts.
I like that. Christopher, thank you for calling. And it is a good point, because Neil and I both said how uncomfortable it is to have that confrontation with someone. I don't want to feel like I have to turn around and I sit and stew over this and I'm missing out on the show because I'm wondering if I should say something. So maybe we just take it to the ushers or to the venue people in charge. You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and I put the call out. Is there anyone who thinks that talking at the shows is fine? And Colin, you called in. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, I'm Colin. I lead a band called Brass Mash. And I wanted to call and just share that, you know, I love when people talk during my performances. I think it's a sign of community. And it's a little bit maybe off top of what you guys are doing, but I think maybe there's definitely different times and expectations to performances that, you know, we may want to just have people have a good time and talk with each other.
Absolutely, yeah. And I hear exactly what you're saying, Colin. And I think it really comes down to each band's intentions and what are they trying to accomplish. Brass, you guys do an amazing job of getting the community just engaged and having an awesome time. It's like you guys create like a huge party, you know. And
That's the goal.
And so you're succeeding in your goal. And I think, like, I'll just speak for my own band, Proxima Parada, that we, you know, I'm writing original music, and so I'm trying to, I think I just have a slightly different agenda or different hopes of what we might be able to, like how we might be able to connect to people. So, you know, I think you're right that it really depends on the show and what is, what's the atmosphere that we're trying to create.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the type of music that Brass Mash is doing, that is a party, and I do love the idea of the community getting together for that. But, you know, there's, like we talked about actually at the beginning of all of that, there's different things, different ways of behaving at different shows, outside festivals, bars, what type of music. You know, you wouldn't want somebody talking all the way through an Arthur Watership performance because they're making beautiful, quiet music. You wouldn't want somebody, and the Sujours show, I mean, how could anybody talk during that? It was just so fascinating to sit and listen to them. But a Brass Mash show, the community that's involved, it's all about a community with the group of people that are there together and dancing, and it makes sense where people are talking during that. I think we just need to pay attention to the different situations. And I think it's a lot about just being aware of the people around us, being aware of the situation that you're in. Yeah,
that you're out in public. Colin, thank you for calling in. And also, I'm glad that you talked about the intention of the band is to get people excited and participating and talking, because it kind of goes back to what I keep feeling like is that the musicians, in a lot of ways, are setting the tone for what kind of performance that they're going to be
we
sharing.
Can kind of outline what's appropriate,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, and so that people kind of know the expectations, what that heartfelt piece is. And I think if the performers took a little more ownership of what their performance is about, the audience would respond in kind, because I don't think anyone goes to a show wanting to disrespect an artist.
And in a Brass Mash song, you have to talk to, because you have to say, like, wait, did they just play a Michael Jackson song and did they just play all blended together in one place? Yeah.
Colin, thanks for
calling.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We have time for one more quick call. So, Becky, bring us home.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for this conversation. I have a son who's a musician, and he's in high school, and I go to a lot of their concerts, and it's very disturbing to hear people talking around you, in front of you. I'll just be like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I can't hear what's going on. I also went up to a musician afterwards and said, I'm so sorry that all of these parents are talking while you're performing. And he was like, hey, you know, they were having a good time. And I was kind of surprised, because I feel really bad for the musicians when, you know, no one's paying attention or they're right in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say, too, I experienced this in church. And I know that's a different venue, but there's people playing music and there's people talking, and wow, I've given up going because it's so rude. But I appreciate all of the different call-in people, too, because they've had a lot of interesting ideas.
Thanks so much, Becky. Thanks for bringing it home. So, Neil, final thoughts on this?
Well, final thoughts are just kind of, you know, if maybe you're somebody that does talk at concerts, just consider the people around you. If you have trouble with it, don't wait until you get frustrated and angry. Make it an I statement. In this case, you're saying, you know, I'm having trouble hearing. Could you maybe tone your conversation down a little bit, lean in? Or, you know, you don't want to tell people what to do, but make it about, you know, I'm having trouble. Would you mind?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm really excited to listen to this band. Means a lot to me. Most people, I believe this, most people will go like, oh, I'm sorry, that's fine. Sometimes you're still going to run into somebody who's just a knucklehead, but do it early before you get frustrated.
Right, don't spend half the show steaming.
Don't spend half the time steaming. And also, I think just going along with a lot of these artists, just try to live in the moment a little bit more. Just live in that moment of that band playing. You're there and it's going to be a great time and you'll remember it. You don't need the pictures of it and the video of it and all of that. You'll still have that great feeling when you come away if you just sit there and you vibe and you tune in with the artist. You know, even though we had people talking behind me, I tuned in with Sue George and I just paid attention and I just got absorbed into that show, and it was one of the greatest shows that I've been to in a long time. Take the time to do that.
Thank you, Neil, and thank you, Nick Larson, for being my guest today. Proxima Parada will be performing Yoga Fest
in August.
And you can also pick up Big Seven, an album that I adore. We're going to go out with a little bit of their music. Thank you for listening to this conversation with a reluctant therapist. You can catch our show from podcasts or kcbx.org. Send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. As always, thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBX.
I don't really know what I should see, but I don't really know what I should see, but oh, I'm looking. Oh, I'm looking. I decided to open my door. I decided to open my door, but I hate the way my house looks now. I'm gonna find my simple way. I'm gonna keep it all the same. Time in a circle now, every day. Over and over again, oh, every day. Time in a circle now. Oh, oh. I just had to let it go. I decided to save something special. I decided to save something special, but I keep it close by. I'm gonna find my simple way.